Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning at Share. Oh, I should have asked the day before I started. It's January something, the 18th. January the 18th, we are learning Le'ilui Nishmas Miriam Frel, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, Mehir Nesham Aben Ali, and Nuschos of our weekly Torah, and hopefully Nuschos of our bettering ourselves and applying what we learn in this weekly Chabura. So we're on the bottom of page 43, please, and we're not going back to what we already did. We're going new, okay? When speaking, we're speaking about Kol HaDibur and the power of speech. Just a very brief recap. Some of you were not here for the past couple of weeks, just to tap into the soul, and that the soul reveals the godliness within, and the way to reveal the soul, which is the way to the key to godliness, is through the power of speech. When speaking to a person who is attentive and receptive, who needs only practical guidance, there is no sense in speaking harshly. So what the Mechaber, what the author is telling us, is that harsh speech is a manifestation of the body, and soft speech is a manifestation of the soul. So if you're speaking to someone who's already attentive and already receptive, he only needs practical guidance, right? He needs some fine-tuning, so to speak, but there's no sense in speaking harshly. To the contrary, you should use gentle, pleasant words, because you want to speak to him on the level of soul to soul, because he's already in the place where he doesn't need the harshness. So I started reading, since last time we met, the biography called Amalach in Our Midst, which is the biography of Harav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo, who was, of course, one of the Rebbeim Yeshivas Toras Moshe, the oldest grandson of Rav Soloveitchik, and one of the Harnof Kedoshim. So I'll tell you that I'm about a third of the way through the book, and all that it's talking about so far is his amelus b'Torah and his dedication to Torah, and it's just beyond extraordinary, beyond description. But I just want to share a vignette from the book that I read last night that I thought related to this chapter that we are learning on Kol HaDibur. Okay. So we're talking about no need for harsh speech. You should be using gentle and pleasant words. Welcome. Okay. So an anonymous Talmud, many of the Talmudim are actually quoted by name. This one example, consider the following recollection shared by a Talmud by one of his students who prefers to remain anonymous. It took place 15 years ago. So the boy relates, I'm sure by now he's a man, not a boy, by my nature I can get very fiery in learning. So he starts screaming, I've cooled down over the years, but when I was a young Bach, or when I was a young boy learning, the simplest disagreement over how to understand a Rashi could unleash explosive bursts of energy and decibel levels, he was screaming, that would cause heads to turn my way. Believe me when I tell you, I never purposely did this. I wasn't even yelling out of anger. I was just fired up. That's all. So we have a very harsh expression of speech. And the person himself is saying it wasn't on purpose, that's just how I was. But that didn't mean my first year chavrusa, his first year study partner, was okay with it. The first day we sat down to learn together, he got really shaken up by my super overdrive energy.
I just have to go to the right.
Oh, fine. Sorry. I was going to tell you, they're not here yet. You don't need to leave, Nancy. Okay. He got really shaken up by my super overdrive energy. After a week or so, I decided to discuss the matter with someone. I approached the recognized Talmud Chacham, and I presented my dilemma. Naturally, I get extremely excited. I get very loud when I learn. It's bothering my chavrusa. What should I do? The response was, essentially, you're right. It's Melchamta Shel Torah. It's the war of Torah. However, since it bothers your chavrusa, perhaps try to tone it down or not accommodate him. For some reason, my mind was not fully set at ease. I decided to ask Rav Twersky about it, although I was not yet in his shir. Once again, I presented the issue, and this time I added for good measure. I had already been told it was okay because it was Mechamta Shel Torah. So again, this man is screaming when he learns, but by default, he's screaming at the other person who he's learning with. Rebbe's response, or Tversky's response, was short and to the point. He was not impressed, to say the least, with what the Talmud Chacham had advised me. With a stern look, he said, Mechamta Shel Torah is no excuse for bad midos. Although I was a bit stunned, I had no problem accepting his words. I understood Rabbi didn't mean to imply, this is how he records, that my behavior was an outgrowth of bad midos. Causing another Jew pain or discomfort is inherently a bad mida, irrespective of how pure one's motive or goal may be. So I think it's very appropriate, because here the person thinks he's screaming with Ta'alas and he's screaming for a good person. It's Mechamta Shel Torah. And you know, where do you draw the line when you're screaming at another person for the purpose of Torah? That can become a very slippery, very dangerous slope when you think of spouse to spouse, friend to friend, parent to child, then you have an excuse. Well, it's l'shem shemayim, it's for the sake of Torah. However, the Mechaber is telling us there's no sense in speaking harshly. When the person is attentive and when the person is receptive and the person needs practical guidance, you should be using gentle, pleasant words. As Rav Kotorsky said, Hashem Yikom Damo, to this particular Talmud, Mechamta Shel Torah, your war for Torah, for l'shem shemayim, is not an excuse for bad midos. Okay? So we're in the bottom of page 43, ladies, three lines out from the bottom, it says, He already wants to accept. The person is yearning to hear. And if your caller related the bracha there of Mordechai Gifter, Zecha Tzadik Vrecha Rashiv of Taos, received when he was a very young boy from Rav Shimon Shkop, that's how Rav Shimon Shkop was visiting America, and he gave Rav Gifter a bracha in Yiddish, the Rav Gifter would subsequently give his Talmidim throughout the years. And the bracha was, you should always want to learn. Bracha wasn't you should want to learn, it's you should want to want. He already wants this person. He wants to accept, and he's yearning to hear. So what's it going to help you to be screaming at this person, to be using harsh speech? When you meet a stubborn person who embodies the inclination of man is evil from his youth, ki yeser leiv ha'adam ra minu urav. Oh, that's interesting. One second. Yeter leiv ha'adam ra minu urav. We're going to be talking about the heart soon. The heart of man is the inclination of man is evil from the youth. He needs help to break through his stubbornness and evil inclination. So therefore, in certain instances, top of page 44, you may need there's a need for harshness. So do you understand the difference? Sometimes the person is yearning and the person already wants to want and he needs to hear and he's attentive and receptive. So in that case, there's no sense in speaking harshly. Speak gentle, pleasant words. On the other hand, sometimes you meet a stubborn person who embodies the inclination of man is evil from his youth, and that person needs help to break through the exterior. He has stubbornness, he has an evil inclination. In certain instances, there may be a need for harshness. So what came to mind, even though we're out of the book of Bereishis already, we're in Parsha Shmos, but the beginning of Parsha Shmos, the first few verses relate to us that Yaakov Ishu Beso came down to Mitzrayim, and it tells us the Shvatim's name, and it tells us that Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Of course, Bereishis ends with reconciliation, but when the brothers meet Yosef, and Yosef, they don't know it's Yosef, but of course Yosef knows it's them. How does he speak to them? Why do they go back to Father and they say that the master of the land, the Isha Arts Diber Tanu? Kashos. No, he spoke to them very harshly. Yosef did not speak to them quietly. Diber Itanu Isha Arts Kashos. He spoke to us in a very harsh manner. So how can we understand this? The Mechaber says in certain instances there's a need for harshness. So why would we say that he spoke to them harshly? It's Yosef at Tzadik. Yosef who's an asking it's Tzadik. Why is he speaking to anybody harshly? So perhaps, you understand the question? So perhaps we can answer as follows. Harshness is rachamim if it enables a person to overcome his Yetzer Hara. Sometimes a person, there's no other measure that can reach a person except for drastic measure. What did Yosef need to do? He was enabling his brothers to do teshuva. Before he was able to reveal himself to the brothers, say, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? He needed to put them through a process and set them up for teshuva. Would they let Binyamin go as they let Yosef go? Or would they defend Binyamin to the death, which is what Yehuda was prepared to do? He said to Yosef, I'm going to kill you like I'm going to kill Paro if you keep this boy here. When Yosef saw they had done true teshuva, and he said, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? How did he set them up for the process of teshuva? By being harsh with them. You're spies, basim lirvos es ervas arts, came to see the nakedness of the land, he throws them in jail. So is he cruel or is he compassionate? It's interesting. But he's the son of Rachel, and Rachel is rachamim. Leah is gevura. Rachel is rachamim. But he's the son of Rachel. So is he compassionate or is he harsh? Listen to this. His exterior is harsh. But what's he always doing in the side room?
Crying.
And what does that indicate? Inside, he's a true person of rachamim. So therefore, sometimes an exterior of harshness is actually a manifestation of rachamim when it's done in an appropriate way to help the person come back to Hashem. He was helping them come back to teshuva. In that case, it's a beautiful, very clear, and I think very appropriate example of in certain instances, there may be a need for harshness. He knew with these brothers, he needed to be harsh. But the fact that he's always crying, he goes to the side room, he cries. Binyamin comes down, he cries. Tells us he washes his face. It's unbelievable that he's always crying. That demonstrates the empathy within and the sympathy within, even though the exterior at times needs to be harsh. Any questions or comments? Okay. Second paragraph, top of page 44. The body is tough. No, first paragraph. The body is tough, and we see that from when man was created. What is man created from? Afar min ha'adama. What's afar? It's tough stuff. It's dirt. While the soul is gentle, makes so much sense. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. While the body came from harshness and from dirt and from soil, the soul came from Hashem above. And therefore the soul is full of, we can't describe it, it's a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. So therefore it's gentle, it's delicate. The soul naturally seeks Hashem. Why? It's its source. The soul yearns to go back to the source. Even while we're alive in this world, the whole time, the source is yearning for Hashem. It need not be pressured through harsh speech. So if you want to reach a person's soul, you don't need harsh speech. You don't need to shout. You don't need to give the exterior. Every true and simple statement gives pleasure to the soul. It yearns to absorb the message. It's fascinating because until this section in the book, the Mechaber was really speaking on Bein Adam Lamakom. The Mechaber, until this point, you know, the whole time we've been learning together, has really been speaking on interaction between man and God. Now, interaction between man and God also affects interaction between man and himself. But he comes to this section, which is so absolutely practical. And now, yes, it's been Adam L'Makom, it's our interaction between us and Hashem, it's our interaction between us and ourselves, but it also affects interaction, of course, between us and fellow man. Every true and simple statement gives pleasure to the soul. It yearns to absorb the message. Think of how a child appears when spoken harshly to, and the reaction of the child when spoken in a calming fashion. I remember many years ago, I was in a public place. I don't want to give any details. I was in a public place, and I remember seeing a mother of a young child becoming very angry at the child. To the point where her face was changing colors and then smacking the child on the face. And I was, I'm talking someone from our people, and I was with my child, and it was very disturbing, I still remember, and very alarming. And we have to try and internalize the impact of what such speech and such words does to the person on the receiving end. There's no need for it. If it's an emanation from your soul and you want to reach the other person's soul, then we have to see soul to soul and not guf to guf, because it's too harsh. Every true and simple statement gives pleasure to the soul, and it yearns to absorb the message. The intellect, on the other hand, is part of the body. It resists simplicity. So sometimes, again, Yosef had to speak harshly, but the fact that he's always crying is proof that he's really a person of rachamim. Despite his harsh exterior, it's all coming from his soul, because he wants to bring his brothers back to Hashem. The intellect is part of the body. It resists simplicity. So I wanted to share a story from Henny Machlis. One second, please. Someone here said, you said you're going through it, right? Anyone else is reading it? How are you enjoying? It's unbelievable, right? So I went from this to Rav Moshe Tversky. It's really to what people can accomplish, what a person can make of themselves in this world is beyond belief.
It's frightening.
Frightening. Why? Because you're saying, what are we going to say?
Yeah, I'm like, I
guess. Right.
I don't expect that, like, you know, I'll be Henny Machlis, but what if I have that potential and I'm not, you know? We just don't know.
I have to do what we can. Okay, so what am I going to want to tell you? Page 60, 61. Okay. Was it easy for Henny? Well, hundreds of guests she had every week. She taught three different schools, her 14 children, the Achnasas Archim, her Ahavus Yisrael, her overflow of kind speech to every person, her cooking, serving, cleaning up every week, her calm, cheerful demeanor, her love and respect for every person. Or was she like the virtuoso? Yeah, the virtuoso ballerina who, after years of assiduous practice, makes every arabesque and grand jeté look easy. Okay, I can't. Was it really easy for her? Did she just make it look easy? Because after so many years of practice, why are you laughing? Because I don't say it right?
No. No one can say it right. So I'm laughing because you're...
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you said it right.
Okay. Many of the guests had quirks that caught the Machlis's bite. You said something I didn't hear?
No, I said you pronounced it
Thank you. Many of the guests had quirks that caught them, even at the Nautilus. I asked them, just today I said something that I wasn't sure if I said it right, and they corrected me at the Nautilus. Many of the guests had quirks that caught the Machlises by surprise. One well-dressed Australian man came very often for all the Shabbos meals and slept over on Friday night and Motzi Shabbos. So the level of their Knesset Erchav and love for other people is just unbelievable. One week after dozens of visits, he arrived on Friday afternoon and found the house a wreck. Keep in mind, he was well-dressed, he came very often, all the Shabbos meals, slept over Friday night, and Motzi Shabbos. So 1 week after dozens of visits, it was a big mess, could he help? She said, of course. Is there anything I can do? You really want to help? Said Henny, yes, I'll do anything. Henny gave him the broom, and he swept the floor. That night at the Shabbos table, he got up, and he declared to the crowd, quote, these people are so disgusting. I came to the house. I was tired. I was broken. And what did they do? They handed me a broom. I had to sweep the floors. This is how you treat a guest. So many troubled individuals in their orbit often made the Shabbos table at the Machzom truly unruly. The sole time my family and I ever attended was 13 years ago. I was oppressed by the number of variety of people, the delicious array of food, the Divrei Torah. But in the middle of the main course, suddenly a man came in the door and started yelling at Rabbi Machlis in Hebrew. I was horrified. The author is writing this. I glanced at Mordechai and Henny, and I realized such outbursts are as common as spilled wine at the Shabbos table. Mm. So the way that not only they spoke to others, but pay attention, the love that they exuded to others enabled them to accept the harshness, but to look past the harshness and to really see past the guf, because we're learning that harsh speech is a manifestation of the body, the guf. They were able to look past the guf and see into the neshama. And it's unbelievably high madriga. Yes, it is very frightening. Obviously, it's very unusual and it's very rare, but they were truly able to find the soul within every single person. By the way, I just want to point out, such outbursts are as common as spilled wine. Elsewhere in the book, I note that there's a Gemara that says, spilled water should be like spilled wine in your house. So it's interpreted to mean you should be wealthy. Just water is free, but wine is expensive. But they looked at it as, just like you don't get upset over spilled water. It doesn't stain anything. It doesn't ruin the tablecloths. It doesn't cost money. That's how you should look at spilled wine, which could stain, which does cost money, which is much more inconvenient. So, too, the way you look at spilled water is how you look at spilled wine. So here you have examples of a person just being able to see past the exterior and find the neshama within, not only to speak from your neshama, but to hear the neshama of somebody else. Questions or comments?
Her children keeping up her legacy?
So they continued to host the Shabbos meals. Good. Yes, the end of the book, recently the main group, Hanukkah time, and they speak to Hanukkah slave, the main group was collecting to sponsor, Rabbitson Fuchs said, any amount you want to give from $5 upwards will be put towards the Shabbos that they were sponsoring at the Machlis home. It's interesting you asked that. Good question. Afterward, Henny's legacy continues. Those exact words. The Machlis hospitality continues 3 meals every Shabbos, ample food cooked by Henny's children. The average guests are around 250 every Shabbos. Readers who would help like to support tells you how good it costs about $3,000 every Shabbos.
Oh, wow.
And these were not wealthy people. It's just, to me, it's not even finding. You know why? It's so out of this world that it's just unbelievable. It's just so unbelievable. But we have to bring it down to our level. So our level is if somebody speaks to us harshly, perhaps, and it's an instance where it can be overlooked, perhaps we should strive to see if we can, to hold back as they did. I'm not saying always, I'm not giving counseling. If there's a situation where it is appropriate and applicable to hold our tongue and try to see past the harsh exterior to the neshama to avoid furthering the machlokas, then it's something that we should consider and perhaps strive for when the situation allows it. Right? Okay, you know, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky had a rule, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, don't rebuke children. When should you know? Does anyone know? Don't rebuke children if it's something they're not going to do when they're older. If you know it's something they're not going to do when they grow up, then it's not worth making a big deal over it. You have to know when to bring out the Mechamta Shel Torah and the way to bring it out. And that's not only true of children. It's true for many people all around us. The rule is, with a saint, be saintly. I'm continuing in the book. Oh, the actual pasuk is im chasid tis chasad, with a saint or with a chasid, be like a chasid. Im gibor tamim titamam, with a pure person, be pure. The Mechaber translates it as simple. Im gibor tamim, with a person of strength who is tamim, pure. Im navar titabar, with a pure person, be pure. Im ikesh titpal, with a crooked man, be devious. With a saint, be saintly. With a simple man, be simple. With a crooked man, be devious. So it's interesting, as if you see in the book of Bereishis, okay, that's a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel, he gives you the quote, in Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu shows up at the well, one second, and he asks Rachel about her family, and we know he's going home to Lavan Harami. Talk about the trickster, behave in a trickster fashion, with a pure person, be pure. So what does he say to Rachel? Does anyone remember? No, because I'm not even being specific enough. Vayagidli Yaakov the Rachel. Yaakov says to Rachel, ki achi avihahu, he is her father's brother, v'chi ben Rivkahu, because he is the son of Rivka, v'taratz v'tageda aviyah, she runs home and she tells her father. So Rashi says there, okay, they're relatives, but the Medrash says, im l'rama'us huba, if he comes, go tell your father, if he's coming to trick me, gam ani achiv b'rama'us, I'm his brother in what's a good word? Your brother came with trickery, with deceit. Deceit. If he's coming to me with deceit, I'm coming to him with deceit. Ve'im Adam kasherhu, but if he comes to me as a kosher man, gam ani ben Rivka achoso haksheira, then I will come to him as the son of Rivka. So that's how we understand the pasuk. I'm either your brother. Achi Avihu, I'm your brother. What does that mean? I'm your brother in Rama'us, I'm your brother in deceit. But if you come to me kosher, then I'm the son of Rivka, then I am kosher. And that's really, really what the pasuk tells us here. With a saint, be saintly. Let your neshama just come out. With a simple man, be simple. With a crooked man, be devious. Sometimes we need harshness. Since the soul is simple, you must approach it with simplicity. Use pleasant talk, use softness, use supplication. We just saw two examples to the point where in the Machus home, they often held their tongue. It's the ultimate softness. As it says, the poor one speaks with supplication, ordinary human intellect. Is everyone with me? You know where I'm up to? Ordinary human intellect, though, has become sly through the tree of knowledge. You know, it's fascinating. We said last time, it was the Eitz HaDa'as. So you think it's not so bad to have Da'as. What's wrong with having knowledge? The tree of knowledge, of good and evil. Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, good and evil. So what's so bad? Why have we become sly through the tree of knowledge? And the answer is Hashem said, don't eat from it. So you know what we learn from there? Not all knowledge is good. If Hashem says, don't go there, if Hashem says, don't learn about it, if Hashem says it's not appropriate from you, there are many realms of knowledge that are not appropriate for us. You know, when the kids see written down somewhere that, you know, the world is like, I don't know how many billions of years old or how many millions of years old, and we talk about things like evolution, there are things that are not for us. So when you tap into da'as, when you tap into knowledge that is not the Torah path, then it's not for us. And then man becomes sly through that. We must address the intellect in a language it understands, such as profound intellectual ideas and even cutting words. So we have to be careful with the knowledge that we use. And we do need profound intellectual ideas, but we have to be careful with the way we approach it, not to use slyness, not to become the brother of Lavanin Rama'us. So interesting, in the book of Moshe Twersky, talking about profound intellectual ideas and cutting words. Welcome. Listen to this, it's fascinating. And also talking about speaking on a level that man could understand. Okay. This is an interview with Rav Chaim Ilson, who was also a Talmud of Rav Salvechik, Rav Twersky's grandfather, and he learned with Rav Twersky for many years, the Chavrusa. Over the years, we had many conversations about approaches to learning. This is Rav Ilson reporting on conversations that he had with Rav Twersky. I vividly remember one of the issues that plagued him. Why was it that Talmidim of his grandfather, students of his grandfather, who learned with his grandfather in the 40s, in the 50s, and the 60s, so Savitcher got Talmidim in those years, as great as some became, did not succeed in replicating his grandfather's approach to learning? Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik from the 40s, 50s, and 60s were not able to grasp who Rav Soloveitchik really was, while those in the 70s were much closer to accessing who Rav Soloveitchik was. Why? So Rav Tversky proposed the following theory. Ready? Because we're talking about how do we feel when we read these biographies. Hani Machas, Zichron Alevracha, Rav Moshe Tversky was like in a different world. Man dreams only what is humanly possible. One can have a pipe dream to go to the moon, probably now we can go to Mars also, but nobody dreams, he says, of visiting Alpha Centauri.
Centaurian.
Say it again?
Centaurian.
How do you know that?
I think. I'm pretty sure.
I believe you. Yeah. I'm saying I never heard of this. Okay, Alpha Centauri?
I think okay. Centauri.
Very nice. It's the closest star system to our solar system. No one dreams of going there. You could dream of going to the moon. You could even dream of going to Mars. Why are you laughing? I'm saying it wrong.
I personally am familiar from my TV watching, and I'm laughing because you probably don't watch TV, and that's why you're not familiar with.
Aha, uh-huh. Very cute. That's okay.
Movies, Star Trek.
Okay. So Rav Tversky explained, thank you for the water. Rav Tversky explained why were Rav Soloveitchik's Talmidims in the 40s, 50s, and 60s not able to grasp his path of learning. But in the 70s they were. And he answered Rav Tversky, and this plagued him, Rav Ilson writes. Why? Because his answer was as follows. We only dream of what is applicable and what is approachable. Even the moon is approachable, Dave. You really want to be an astronaut. You really could perhaps get to the moon. Nobody dreams of going to Alpha Centauri because it's over 4 light years from the sun. So what did Rav Tversky answer? His grandfather's phenomenal intellect in the 40s, 50s, and 60s was practically beyond human comprehension. That's why I said the book of Hani Machas doesn't even make me afraid, because it's so beyond anything that is in my realm of existence that I can only learn from it and be inspired. But it's not ever something that I can...
emulate.
What?
Emulate.
Move your hand?
Emulate.
No, I could try and emulate it on my level. Replicate. Yeah. That's the correct word. Yeah. And that's how, why
you're
he's...
You're not expected.
You're right. I'm not expected to be Hani Machas. I'm expected to be Michalitz. You're absolutely right. But she was still a regular person who grew up in Brooklyn. Look at the hate she reads. So you could say, could I ever be in that? But I know for myself, right, not emulate, because you can emulate her, but you definitely can't replicate her. So that's what Rav Tversky said. In the 40s, 50s, and 60s, his grandfather's phenomenal intellect, because the Mechaber just told us we need profound intellectual ideas and sometimes cutting words, was beyond human comprehension. By the 70s, his grandfather was physically frail and thus clearly a human being. As a human being, although obviously he was blessed with almost superhuman talents, we could try to imitate him. So it's a very beautiful ha'ara of Tversky and his grandfather. Excuse me, why were the early Talmidim not able to emulate him? Not able to replicate, not emulate, because it was so beyond. But the later Talmidim saw him as a person, and therefore they were able to access more of who he was. And that was Rav Tversky's insight into his grandfather. You know, my father-in-law shared an unbelievable insight with me into the book of Shemos, which really relates to what we're speaking about. What do the people say? Who remembers what the people say when Moshe disappears by Chet Ha'egel? They go to Aaron, and what do they say? They say, Kizem Moshe Ha'ish Asher Lanu Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Mahayalo. So my family shared a very nice insight with me. What is it? Why do you need the word Ish? You could just say, Kizem Moshe Asher Lanu Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Mahayalo Kum Asay Lanu Elohim. This man, what they said is, this man Moses, who took us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Get up, Aaron, and make us a god. So my father said, why do you need the word this man Moshe? Everybody knows Moshe is an ish. What were they saying? The Rashi tells us there the Satan showed them an image of Moshe dead. showed them an image of Moshe laying on a bed, and they thought Moshe had died, or they thought he became like an angel. What were they saying? The man Moshe is no longer. Kizem Moshe ha'ish asher lanu meretz Yisrael. We don't know where the man is. He's become on the level of angels. We can't relate to someone on the level of angels. Therefore, make us something we can relate to. He has become angelic. He is on another realm. And this is really what we're seeing here. When we speak to another person, it must be on a level that they can grasp and that they can understand, that they can emulate, that they can attempt to replicate, that they can learn from and carry in their own life. Sometimes you need harshness. Yosef spoke to his brothers, kashos. He spoke to them harshly, but it was the right move because it stemmed from a place of rachamim. And sometimes you don't need the kashos at all. You don't need the harshness, as of Tversky said, Melchamta Shal Torah, the war of Torah, has no place, is not an excuse for bad midah. So it's an art, and perhaps a science. I love Siyata Deshmaya to know when to employ which method. When we need a exterior sense of harshness, be very careful. The harshness should never be from where? The interior. It's only the guf that displays the harshness when it's necessary, like Yosef and the brothers. But it's really coming from a place of rachamim. Or you can be all rachamim, exterior and interior. And it's not an easy science to know when to employ that. Questions or comments? Okay. Okay, such intellectual ideas can be helpful in breaking the body's resistance. So sometimes you need the harshness, but they can't address and awaken the soul. So Yosef had to abuse the brothers, so to speak, to get through the exterior. When using the language of the body hears, not the soul. The soul hears through the tears, and the soul hears through the love. Words that emanate from the heart. I'm hoping very much that we're going to now finish this chapter. I really hope we're coming to the end of this chapter. Okay, words that emanate from the heart. Bottom of page 44. However, there's a problem. For a person to speak gently, he must already have exposed his soul, which will then be the source of the gentle talk. What's the kunz? What's the goddess of the sentence? You have to find out who you are first before. You have to find your own soul first. You have to journey inward first before you can exude that outward. If you have not exposed your own soul, then you can't talk from the soul. And that's why the Kutzker Rebbe says, what's the gospel of v'ahavta reicha kamocha? Love your fellow as you love yourself. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Precious Kedoshim. What does Rabbi Akiva say? It's so famous. Come on, it's a song. That's the pasuk. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? Zakal gadol b'Torah. Oh, it's the great principle of the Torah. So I explained one thing on Sunday, on the Shir on Yosef and his brothers, the OU Day of Learning. And that is, just as an aside, since I brought it up, what's the great Kal Gadol B'Torah? We'll explain two different things. One is, what's the shorish of the word? If you listen to that Shir online, you already heard this, but you're going to hear it again. What's the shorish of the word Re'acha? Ra, Reish Ayin, bad. There's different words used for friend. There's Yadid, your beloved, Chaver, Chabu Ra, your friend who you're connected to, and then there's re'acha. What's re'acha? Someone you perceive as bad. Even when you don't really love this person, you perceive them as negative, nevertheless, love them. And that's a great principle of the Torah. And it really applies to what we're learning. You don't need to tell me to love the person that I already love. The parent loves the child. I'm not saying the parent ever gets annoyed with the child. The parent naturally loves the child. But the people who come into your home and scream at you because you made them sweep the floor and they've been biased by you for months, and then he gets up and he screams at you, to love that person, that's the clog. Oh, sorry, I was there. You heard me say this. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it was a big kavod to have you. Thank you. I was very honored. And what's fascinating is if you go through and say for Shemos, if you pay attention to the Torah, it works almost every time. In Mishpatim. Ready? I just opened up. First place I opened up to. Hashgacha Pratis. Perachav, everything is what some as you see it. Perachav Aleph Pasuk Yirchas. V'chi Yirvun Anashim. When men have a fight. Riv is a fight. When two men are fighting. V'hika Ish As. What do you think the next word is?
Re'ehu.
It works all the time. If you pay attention to Lashon of the Torah, it's fascinating. Whenever it uses the word Re'ehu, it fits in with this theme. Start paying attention
also
to it.
Also, the Ishmael 3, what? In Moshe Rabbeinu saw the
In this week's parsha? I didn't hear what you said. Say it again. I didn't hear. It's not your fault.
When Moshe Rabbeinu saw two people hitting.
Yeah, it's this week's parsha. It's in this week's parsha. Lama sakher re'acha, rasha kemoscha, says Rashi. I'm just turning to it. One second. Ayomer l'rasha, I just said. Lama sakher re'acha, very nice. Why do you hit? Re'acha. And Rashi says, rasha kemoscha, mishpatim, it's laws, bein adam l'chaveiro. V'hi ka'ish es re'ehu, be'evan, with a stone, or be'egrof, or with his fist. You're not going to say that he hits his chavercha, and you're not going to say he hits his yedircha, because those are the friends, the chavercha barak, connected. Yedid is your beloved. But who are you? This I didn't say Sunday. So we're adding some more insights. This week's parasha ties into, we see it here in Mishpatim, the first place I opened. Okay? That was the first place I opened to. It's amazing. Torah is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Try and see if another one comes quickly. Oh, by the way, I should tell you what pasuk that is. It's Perchof Aleph, chapter 21, pasuk Yirchas, verse 18. V'chi yigof shor ish eshor re'ehu. If an ox gores the ox of the man's friend, v'meis, it's a bad situation here. You're causing the friend's death. There's a perception of negativity or bad going on here. Okay, one more. Fabulous. Ready? Lo tachmod. What's lo tachmod? The tenth dibra. Don't covet. You shall not covet. Desire be jealous. Lo tachmod base. Reyacha. You're never going to covet. It's unbelievable. Torah is unbelievable. You're never. Look at Lashon HaKodesh. We think it's just words. That's why my brother just told me, why was it such a travesty when the Greeks asked the Zakenim to translate the Torah out of Lashon HaKodesh? Because you're limiting Torah. Because you call Re'echa a friend. Because when it's translated by Targum Onkos into Aramaic, Aramaic's not Lashon HaKodesh, base Chavarch, Chavirach, the house of your Chavir. But that's not what the Torah says. Lo tachmod base Re'echa, because you're not going to covet the home of your Yadid, your beloved, because you love your beloved so much, the neshama so attached to his neshama, you're not jealous of what your Yadid has, and you're not jealous of your Chavir. Lo tachmod eshes Re'echa. You can't possibly covet the wife of your chaver. You can't possibly covet the wife of your yedid, but the wife of your re'echa. V'sharo v'chamer v'chal asher l're'echa. Every word for friend used. It's perichah, pasuk yedad, it's the tenth of the asher. So Dibros uses the shorash for friend. So we should just be attuned to it as we go forward. So that's what the great principle of the Torah. It's not just to stam love your fellow as you love yourself. That's the English. Love the person you perceive as bad, or the enemy, or the guy you don't like so much, or the guy who wronged you, or the person you're naturally jealous of. Love him, even if you perceive a negative. But the other thing that I wanted to point out here, is of the Kotzker Rebbe, v'ahavta l'reacha, and that's to focus on kamocha, on this first sentence that we just looked at here. For a person to speak gently, he must already have exposed his soul. You have to know who you are first. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So the Kotzker Rebbe says, before you could love other people, who do you have to love? Yourself. That's right, yourself. And it's true, because a person cannot be in a healthy interpersonal relationship if they are not a healthy person inside. If they don't love who they are, they don't have self-respect for who they are, they don't have the self-confidence. I'm not on gaiva, that's a weakness, that's an illness. A healthy healthy sense of self-confidence, self-respect, self-love, and awareness of who they are in a healthy realm, as I know, Hashem, you can't have a healthy relationship outward. You just can't. V'ahavta re'echa kamocha, says the Kotzker Rebbe. The kunzes, the godlesses, the core nekuda is kamocha. First you love yourself, then you know how to really love somebody else. So for a person to speak gently, so we're not going to finish the chapter. I think we could rewind the recording. I'm pretty sure I said Billy Nader. Let's just finish up at least the page, please. For a person to speak gently, he must already have exposed his own soul. And that's why Yosef was so successful. Because even though he was speaking harshly on the exterior, he knew who he was. He was very strong internally in his Avodas Hashem. speech that emanates from the intellect, but is merely wrapped in gentle speech. Look at this. Sometimes it looks like gentle speech, but it's not from the soul. It's only from the intellect. It does not have the ability to awaken the soul. So it's fake. You know who's very good at picking up on fake speech? Little kids. What did you say?
Kids.
Little kids. Oh, yeah. You know, the one who coos and talks so nicely to little children and looks like it's a manifestation of the soul. Children know exactly who likes them, and they know who the friendly people are, and they know who to gravitate to. Why? Because they can pick up on the pashtus, the tmimus, the simpleness, the purity of when it emanates from the soul. And that's what the Mechaber is telling you. Sometimes you can cloak speech of the body in gentleness, but that's not speech of the soul. It looks nice on the exterior, but it's lacking the interior. It's just externality without the internality, and therefore it does not have the ability to awaken the soul. And that's why, you know, kids take to certain people, and you always wonder, how do they know who to take to? Why do they like you so much? Because there's certain manifestation of the true depth of the person coming out through the exterior. To awaken, that's kamayim hapanim lapanim, kain lev. Next time we're going to talk about lev. Like water that reflects the face. If you look into clear water, not turbulent water, if you look in, you will see your face. Who does it say that by? Torah Trivia, Avram and Sarah, on their way down to Mitzrayim, he says to Ato Yadati, now I know, ki isha yifas tar, Mara, you're a beautiful woman, now I know. How old were they? He was 75 and she's 65. They had just gone to Canaan. There's a famine. They have to go down to Egypt. He never looked at her before. So there's a medrash that says he saw her face reflected in the water. So he understood that she was a beautiful woman. He never gazed at her exterior. He always looked at her interior. When he saw her reflection in the water, he understood she was very beautiful. So just like water reflects the face, kain lev ha'adam la'adam. When you speak to a person with your lev, with your heart, with your emotion, with your passion, with sensitivity, with tears, the person picks up on that. And when you speak harshly on the exterior, the person picks up on that as well. To awaken the soul, one must use words whose source is gentle. And such words can only come from the soul itself. I'm thinking of water. I just want to say something. Sorry, I'm going to stop talking soon, very, very soon. Kemayim hapanim hapanim kein lev ha'adam ha'adam. I just thought of something. Okay, and then we're going to end. Mayim's not always gentle. Kamayim hapanim lapanim, just like water reflects the face, so too the heart of man to man. So we always take this to mean, oh, water, you look in water, reflects face, make sure your heart reflects to the other person's heart. But you could also have water like Niagara Falls. And that water is rushing and raging and destructive and dangerous. Nobody wants to get caught in the Niagara River because, God forbid. What?
But it looks beautiful from far.
But a raging person doesn't look so beautiful from afar.
Sandy.
What?
Hurricane yeah. Sandy.
Tsunami.
The what?
Hurricane Sandy.
Niagara Falls, Whitewater Rapids. There's two kinds of waters. Water reflects the face, and so too is the heart of man to man. And the way that we give ourselves over to others is the reflection that will be given back to us. And if we're like calm waters, then the love pours forth and it's coming from a deep place in our neshama. And if we are like raging or dangerous waters, then that too can have a very traumatic, long-lasting effect. Coming from a place of our physicality could chalila absolutely destroy another person. So obviously we have to ensure that we always use the gentle mode. We're like the still, the calm waters, the waters of Torah. I was at the dentist yesterday. I said I'm going to stop talking. I was at the dentist yesterday, and when the water, you know, they use water to clean your mouth. So I was saying to myself, Hashem, just as water is cleaning my physical mouth, please let water in my melatora clean my spiritual self. So we have to make sure we're the calm waters. And sometimes when we need the rough exterior, it should only be the exterior. The neshama should always be like Yosef HaTzadik, crying on the inside, that we even need to resort to such methods. But Be'ezras Hashem should always be zochet to remember, from Mechamas Shal Torah, there's no excuse for bad midos. So Be'ezras Hashem, He should help us on the way we want to go. Thank you, ladies. Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you.